Women under pulpit, the arguments for and against female ordination. A very good afternoon to you from me, David and Seath. Welcome to another week on Talkback. It's against God's teachings that disobeys and dishonors Jesus Christ. Trenchant views on the ordination of women from the local cleric. You'll hear his views in a moment, together with those who favor women as fully fledged ministers. I'm sure you have lots to say about women priests, pastors, and ministers. It's an issue that has divided many churches. Now, the current controversy locally centers in Portadown, where the Reverend Christina Bradley was not welcomed at a Christmas service by her Presbyterian colleague, the Reverend Stafford Carson. The service was, in fact, cancelled. Now, the two main people in that, they're not available for interview today, but let debate begin on the generality of the subject. Is this discrimination against women or an acceptance of scriptural authority? We're going to have several views on this, and I'm going to bring in first the Reverend Angus Stewart from the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church in Ballymena. Reverend Stewart, I take it that you take the view that Christ does not permit women in the ministry.
Yes, Jesus Christ says, "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." His headship over the church and the authority of his word is at stake here.
So you say that women should be barred from the pulpit, that they should be barred from administering the sacraments?
Yes, yes, there should be no women ministers, elders, or deacons, and such is usurpation and disobedience to the Lord and head of the church.
Well, that is quite clear and concise. The Reverend Ken Newell, former moderator of the Presbyterian Church, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think the position that has just been articulated is one that is very selective in his biblical quotations. I don't agree at all with his line, although I respect it. The center of the church is Jesus Christ. All ministry in the church is his as prophet, priest, and king. As prophet, since the day of Pentecost, the ministry has been open to both men and women. As St. Peter said in preaching, he said, "I will pour out my spirit on everyone, and your men and your women will proclaim my message." Christ is also the priest in the church. He's the center of worship. And since the day of Pentecost, we now have what we call a priesthood of all believers. And so women are entitled to be priests because of that. And thirdly, Christ governs his church, leads his church, and he has made us a kingdom of kings and priests unto God. And that means that men and women together share in the leadership of the church, or should. So my response to Angus would be that he's very selective. The verses he says are in the scriptures, and they are to be thought about and to be taken seriously. But the conclusions he draws are not conclusions that are solid.
Angus, Stewart, that's a very different interpretation of scripture.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Newell confuses texts which speak about the office of believer, which all share, men and women, as prophets, priests, and kings, and with those passages which specifically deal with the offices in church, the office of elder, deacon, and minister. And I'm referring to, and the debate is about, the offices in the church, the special offices. And to that, 1 Timothy 2 is exactly the text to deal with, because it says, "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man." And chapter 3 goes on to talk about specifically the office of a bishop and the office of a deacon. That's chapter 3, verses 1 and 13.
Yeah. Now, before I bring Christina Rees into this, I want to go back to Ken Newell for a moment, very specifically on this mention of a verse in Timothy, "I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man." What does that mean to you?
Well, I think, first of all, it's a position which St. Paul articulates also in Corinthians. And it means, in effect, that St. Paul at that time, which is 2,000 years ago, was teaching that women should not usurp authority over men. And women in the ministry come as equals. They do not usurp authority over anybody, any more than men usurp authority over women. It's a ministry of humility. It's a ministry of service. But the women preached in the early church is undeniable. It's full. There are many scriptures that relate to it. For example, Philip the Evangelist had three daughters who were prophetesses. He was an evangelist. He proclaimed the message to the outside world, as it were. He had four daughters who were prophetesses, and they proclaimed the message Sunday by Sunday as they gathered in worship within the life of the church. And that was not a problem.
Christina Rees, as I said, you campaigned for greater rights for women priests in the Church of England. It has been a divisive issue within the Anglican Communion, an awful lot of disagreements. So I'm aware that Dr. Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury, is in favour of the ordination of women, but not all bishops are. And we have the situation in the United States of America. Again, division within the church. People want to move outside the Anglican Communion. What is your stance on it?
Well, first of all, yes, Rowan Williams is very much in favor, as is the Archbishop of York, as is almost all the bishops. And as we're speaking now, the House of Bishops and the Church of England are meeting, and on their agenda is to discuss the best way forward for women as bishops. So that's what's happening in the Church of England. Over in the Anglican Church in America, well, you probably already know, David, that there are a number of women bishops and have been since 1989. So the issues that are causing strife in the church there are not largely to do with women. In fact, the archbishop equivalent in North America is a woman herself called Catherine Jeffords Shorey. She's called the presiding bishop. So it's very different across the Anglican Communion, and many, many provinces in places that are not associated with the West at all have said yes to having women as bishops and in all orders, but most of them have not gone ahead and actually appointed a woman as bishop. So what we are now looking at is seeing how in Anglicanism, how the churches are all saying, can women share in the ministry of oversight alongside men? Many of the churches have said absolutely yes, based on theology. And I have to say something about what your first speaker said. First of all, Jesus never said anything that he said Jesus says. That was written by Paul, the same Paul who said that in Christ, Jesus came to break down all barriers of class, race, and sex. And the whole point is that in Christ, if one is a Christian and follows Christ, as Ken Yule said, Christ is the head of the church. We are all part of the body, and we make up, and we are in mutual submission, men and women together, with Christ as our head. And if we spent more time thinking about Christ as our head instead of who's got the power, who's got the position, we'd be in a lot better shape. But I have to say, this is a very important issue, because I am absolutely convinced that there is a direct link between the Christian Church's official position on women being allowed to share in the ministry and how women are treated in general.
All right. I want to give the Reverend Agnes Stewart a chance to come back on that, because there was quite a challenge there from you, Christina. Agnes Stewart.
Sure. Thank you. Philip's four daughters were mentioned earlier. They were prophetesses. Mr. Newell says that they preached every Sunday in the local church in. And I'd like to know how he knows that, because the scripture doesn't say it. The prophet of prophetess in the early apostolic church, the first century, passed away because it was a special temporary church office for the laying of the foundation of the New Testament church. Now we have special permanent offices, office of elder, deacon, and pastor. That's what we're talking about. The lady speaker disparaged sacred scripture with her comments, saying that this was written by Paul. Paul was an inspired apostle of Jesus Christ. He writes the mind of Jesus Christ, and what he writes in scripture there is the will of Jesus Christ. And as regards Galatians 3 verse 28, perhaps the passage he was alluding to, all men and all women in Christ are fully equal in salvation, but the Bible teaches that there are distinct roles in the church, and especially in this debate in relation to church office. And this whole debate is not about the correct interpretation of scripture on the part of those who want women in office. It's about cultural feminism and disobedience to Christ and apostasy from the word of God. That's what we're dealing with.
I'll come back to you in a moment, Ken Yule, but I have a listener on the line, Alan. Hello, Alan.
Hello, David.
Yeah, how are you, Alan?
I'm fine, David, thanks very much. But I'd just like to support Angus on the stand there, and also Stavro Charleston, put it down. It's a sad state of affairs when a minister from the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church has to come and defend our Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And I think it's disgraceful that there's so many within our Presbyterian Church that are disobedient to the Scriptures. And it's all due to the modernization and the liberalization of our church. In fact, the diffusion and distortion of Scripture, bringing in all these new versions which dilute the Scriptures no longer adhere to the authority of the authorized version.
Right.
Which indeed many of the Reformers, the great Bible of Coverdale, Tyndale's Bible, where 1611 authorized versions come from. Calvin was opposed to women in the pulpit, And I'm opposed to this woman in the pulpit, and any right-thinking Christian minister...
Okay.
Angus Stewart.
All right.
And the church is disobedient, and it needs to get back to the way they were in the Reformation days.
Okay. Alan, thank you very much. You just welcome back to Ken Newell in this, and we'd be so easily in a debate like this to get bogged down in theological arguments. I know that's at the base of it. It may be difficult for a lot of people to follow, but you had there, we heard Angus, and then we heard from our caller who said that you are disobedient now, you are disobedient of scriptural teaching, that what you are talking about is a distortion. In other words, I suppose the suggestion is that in this so-called liberal age that we're living in, we look at everything and say, well, I'm sure that's not what they meant really, here's the way we're going to go.
Well, I think what Angus has said and your previous caller, the conclusions are drawing that we're being disobedient to Scripture and unfaithful to Christ. They are just, I mean, that is really nonsense, David. It just doesn't stand up. Anything I have said, I've quoted the Westminster Confession of Faith, that Christ is prophet, priest, and king. The passages I have quoted here have been scriptural passages. There's a very strong case for the ordination of women. And the role of women as elders and deacons.
But why is it so resisted by, not everybody, obviously, people within your own church?
Well, because it is a big issue, and it takes the church sometimes centuries to work through the massive issues. It took us about 1,800 years to address people who defended slavery on the basis of the Bible, on the basis of St. Paul. So the scriptures can be used like that, or the scriptures can be used to look at the great principles that center upon Christ, and it's out of loyalty to Christ, fidelity to Christ, that people within the Presbyterian Church hold this position. We are a broad church. We're still discussing the issues. I don't want to go into them because they're not of my concern, and I respect both ministers that are involved, and I respect the role of our moderator, Dr. Finlay. But the position that people who are pro-ordination are taking it has very strong biblical basis.
Yeah. Christina, let me go back to the belief. I think all of us have had this debate on many, many occasions, and as I recall it, it used to be said, well, the reasons why there is opposition to having women priests or pastors or ministers is that Jesus chose 12 men as the disciples. In other words, that the church following on imitated Christ, and the Lord's Supper only men were present. All of those arguments you have heard, how do you respond to those?
Well, first of all, I would say that Jesus, we're familiar with the 12, but also he was surrounded by many close female disciples as well, who traveled with him during his 3 years of public ministry. And we know his mother was among them. There were several Marys. We know about one of his favorite families, Lazarus, and Lazarus's two sister, Martha and Mary. So that is really not a substantial argument to do with ordination as we understand it and how we order our churches now. So that really is not anything to do with it. What it's really about is whether the churches accept the reality that women are fully human. Because back in the 4th century, earnest male theologians used to sit around with long faces and debate things. Are women human?
Yeah.
Do women have souls?
Yeah.
And things like that. And I have to say that in the time of when the New Testament was written, women were property of their husbands. It is impossible for us to get into the mindset of what it was like then with the way we have now. And what some of your previous speakers have done, it would like to do away with 2,000 years of human development, and in terms of Christianity, 2,000 years of prayerful, thoughtful development in our understanding of who we are as humans.
Yeah.
Remember, Jesus Christ came to save humanity. He came as a human being. We just celebrated Christmas. That's what it's all about.
Right.
And this debate is no less than about are women fully human, and were women also, as along with males of the species,
right,
made in the image of God?
Christina, I want to. We're going to talk. We'll hear the Catholic Church view in a moment or two, but I want to bring another listener in this time. It is a lady, Suzanne, who lives in the Craigavon area. Hello, Suzanne. What position do you take on this?
Hello, David. Good afternoon to you. I actually was very encouraged by what I heard Angus saying, and I fully back Stafford Carson for his stand. You know, the girl in your office said, you know, she wanted to hear it from a woman's point of view. But the problem is, you know what I mean, they are basing their argument on the scripture. And you know, we have this liberal thinking in within the Irish Presbyterian Church as well, which is coming through, and they are trying to stamp their authority. But nothing changes scripture. It's the same today as it was in the biblical stories that we read, and nothing changes that.
Yeah, you're saying, Suzanne, that the Bible, in your view, is infallible, that there are no contradictions whatsoever, and
that's the way it should be.
We should accept the literal translation, and that as Christine had been talking about. I want to hear her in this before I go back to our two male guests, that nothing has changed. The development of the human mind over thousands and thousands of years should not affect this in any way. Is that what you say,
absolutely,
Suzanne?
Absolutely not. No,
okay.
it is ordained in Scripture. Women were to be helpmates for the male.
Right.
That's the way it should be, even in the roles of within the church.
Christina, would you like to speak to Suzanne?
Well, what I would want to say is just comment on her main point, which is about the unchangeability. And if that were the case,
just a moment, Suzanne.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
She would be the property of her husband. She would have no rights whatsoever. If she made certain infringes that we would consider minor today, she would probably be stoned to death. She would be considered unclean certain times of the month. We don't see humanity like that anymore. This is precisely the type of thing that Jesus Christ came to free us from.
Yeah, Suzanne, Christine, I just pause at that point because I want to hear Suzanne's response to the comments you've just made. Suzanne.
Well, the reason Jesus Christ came was actually to make a way of salvation. That was the reason he came in his humanity, first of all.
But what about the points that you could be stoned or would be declared unclean?
Well, those are Old Testament scriptures. We're living in a New Testament age.
Ah.
Not so. Consider the woman taken in adultery.
Could I speak to that one?
Yes, certainly. Come in. Angus.
The stoning to death was a requirement in Old Testament law when...
Yes.
A person committed incest in 1 Corinthians 5, the apostle didn't say stoned to death. Now that Christ has come, the church is Catholic, the outer Jewish wrappings of the church has been left aside, then the equivalent of stoning is excommunication. As regarding uncleanness of women on their every month and so on, Christ came and he did away with such things as food laws to bring in a wider, embracing Catholic church. And I'd like to respond to something Christine said earlier about women being fully human. Of course they are.
Yes.
Of course they are. And women are wonderful. I'm married to one. I'm a big supporter of godly Christian women. And let's have more of them in our church.
Yes.
And the issue in all this, too, is the perspicuity of Scripture. I'm afraid that Christine has been saying things that disparage the Word of God. It's not clear. It's evident from what she says that her thinking is determined by culture.
Yes. All right. Pause for a moment, folks, because I'm going to go out and hear what the Catholic view is. But I want just one quick comment from Ken Newell in this one. And you sort of smiled there when you heard something being said about when I put the question about the infallibility of the Bible, and then we heard about the human mind developing over thousands of years, and I felt that you were saying to yourself, you were indicating there is an inconsistency in the other argument.
Well, what the key thing is that it should not be suggested that people who support the ordination of women are being unfaithful to Scripture. I have backed up my case. I've presented it very clearly as Christ as prophet, priest, and king. I've quoted nothing but Scripture since I've come on here. And the position that Angus and some of the other callers have been presenting, they're looking at the Scripture with one eye shut. And what I'm saying is there are two traditions or two aspects of this issue in Scripture. There have always been these two issues in the life of the church, and that both have to be taken seriously. But there is a very strong scriptural case for the ordination of women at every level in the ministry, at every level of the church, and in every ministry the church provides.
Right. I want to bring in the views of the Catholic Church now. We're going over live to our reporter Kevin Sharkey, who's in Ballyclare. Kevin.
Well, an increasingly elderly priesthood and a shortage of priests, meaning that some rural priests now have to provide a ministry in more than one parish, and the prospects for the future are not great either, with vocations dwindling over the last decade or so. Now, there are just some of the problems facing the Catholic Church, so isn't there a simple, quick fix? Well, Father Eugene O'Hagan, it seems pretty straightforward. Bring on woman priests.
That might appear to be the easiest option. Of course, the church in the present time faces a lot of demands, a lot of challenges, challenge of change being one of them. And of course, in our own church, we have to just look at the structures that we have in terms of personnel, in terms of vocations, etc. But of course, in today's world, you know, the church has a difficulty in attracting new vocations, young men to the priesthood, etc. But it's not as bad as some people would believe it to be, actually. In fact, there have been a very encouraging increase in the most recent years of vocations in Maynooth and throughout Ireland, which is very encouraging for us all.
Yeah, and I suppose, like most and many other churches, your church is driven by theology, but theology might be saying one thing, but in terms of your church, for example, practicality is dictating something very different.
Well, I think all the churches are in exactly the same position in many respects. Yes, I think the Catholic Church position on women priests is well known. Perhaps the debate on it hasn't been covered as well as it's been covered maybe locally, certainly in the Anglican Church, and even in this most recent debate between the two Presbyterian churches in Portadown. Yeah, you know, we look at it from a doctrinal point of view. Some of the earlier speakers in this programme I would agree with. Some of the other more culturally conditioned elements regarding the ordination of women in other churches I would disagree with. But it's, as far as we're concerned, there has been a very raging debate, hot debate amongst the bishops and amongst other episcopal conferences all over the world on this issue. I don't believe it's going to go away. But at the moment, anyway, the stance is that we remain true to the scriptures, the tradition of the church, and the teaching of the church in this matter.
But at a very practical level, for example, in terms of having a level playing pitch vis-a-vis women and men, people look at the Catholic Church and they see women being able to be ministers of the word and ministers of the sacrament, and they very legitimately will be entitled to ask, well, why not everything else?
Well, a couple of points you made earlier on, I think that Ken Newell, you talked about the common priesthood. Well, I mean, that's our understanding too. It shouldn't come as any surprise to anybody, because we do read the same scriptures, we do believe in the same God, we do worship the same Christ. Yes, there's the common priesthood of the laity, and I mean, the ministry of the word and the extraordinary ministers of the Holy Communion, distributing communion, assisting the priests, etc., has been in practice now for many, many years, and is greatly encouraged by our theology and by the Vatican Council, which we're still living out and putting into practice in our churches throughout the world. There are other practical areas where women and men can be of wonderful help, administration in the life of the church. And I'm also reminded in our own history, if we look back at the Irish Church, there's great women like St. Bridget, for example, who was a great influence in her own life, in her convent, monastery life. But she also understood that, you know, there was a role for the ministerial priesthood, and that's where the Catholic Church stands with regard to the ministerial priesthood, and the role of the priest himself. What does the priest do? He offers the sacrifice of the Mass and the Eucharist, which is given to us at the Last Supper by the Lord himself.
Okay, Father Eugene O'Hagan here at the Parish of the Sacred Heart in Ballyclare and Ballygowan. Thanks for joining us on Talkback. David.
Thanks to both of you. Now, we're going to wind this up in a second or two. I'm going to take another listener, and then we'll go around our guests for a final comment. Trevor in Belfast. Hello, Trevor.
Hello, David. I'm a retired local preacher, and I think the Bible does teach that we're all equal in the sight of God. If we take the word literally, right, Jesus said, I am the door. Right. Common sense was telling me that he wasn't made of wood. Don't mean that disrespectfully, but how little are you going to go? What the scripture is regarding elders is that an elder has to be married. So if there's people who are elders who are not married, they can't be elders if you're going to take that strict. Not only have they got to be married, they've got to have children. So I'll marry a couple who can't have children. That if they're going to be as strict as some people are interpreting regarding women, then you can't allow them to be elders either.
Right.
And the truth is, I'm going to finish with this, but for the women, millions of people in Africa, in the Fiji, all over the world, wouldn't have come to Jesus Christ. The men wouldn't go as missionaries, the women did, and the Lord saw no difference.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for your views, Trevor. I have another listener, Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hello, David. I've been following the debate, and I've listened to some of the arguments. I mean, if you take some of the comments about Timothy, I mean, that means really that a young girl at Sunday school shouldn't question her teacher. If she thinks something doesn't make sense, is she allowed to say, I don't understand that? Is she allowed to question things? I think a lot of the people involved in this argument, especially on the against women or female ordination, they're obsessed with the small print. And maybe it's just they need to step back and look at the bigger picture of what it says. I mean, there's things in the Bible about rich men getting into heaven and this sort of thing, and yet there's you go past our churches now and you see nothing but very flashy cars.
Yeah, all right.
There's a little evidence I'm trying to dispose of the wealth.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Alex. Just I'm going to round it off now. Christina Reese, who has to leave us in a second or two. An interesting debate, Christina, and I wonder, will the practicalities discussing there with the Catholic priests, with vocations difficult to come by, and I don't know about other churches, but it may well be that the practicalities will dictate the way things go. And I have spoken to Catholic priests who would be in favour of the ordination of women.
Absolutely. I mean, what he said is very true. The numbers are falling and it's getting increasingly difficult. And I believe that within another generation, the Roman Catholic Church will have opened its ministerial priesthood to both married men and to women. And I think that will be a wonderful day when that happens. And then I think the rest of Christendom will very much follow their lead. In the meantime, the Anglican Church has its own mind to make up. And I do believe that this issue excites, gets people very hot under the collar, because it really is about discussing the full humanity of women and whether women are made in the image of God. And it's also about whether traditionally men who have ordered and run our institutional churches are willing to share the leadership in those churches with women, and whether they can recognize women as their sisters in Christ.
All right, thank you very much for that, Christina Reason. Back to the Reverend Angus Stewart, who's again been listening attentively to what is being said. Angus Stewart, I don't know if anything that has been said has caused you to change your mind on this one or not. I rather suspect not. But the point was made there a moment or two ago that maybe you and people who take your view are obsessed with the small print.
Well, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And those people who break the word of God and teach others, Jesus said, to be least in the kingdom of heaven. One of your phone-in men said Jesus' words, I am the door. And Jesus, nobody understands what he's talking about. He means he is the way through which we go to God. 1 Timothy 3 saying that the elder is to be the husband of one wife. The emphasis on the word one. You can't have an elder as one who has more than one wife. Paul, for instance, most understand that he was unmarried, and he was an apostle, a higher office than an elder. Peter says that he, as an apostle, was also an elder. It's included in that office.
Yep.
You know, so elders have to have a wife, then apostles do, but we know that they don't, so you can't interpret it that way.
Okay.
Sunday school girls can indeed ask their teachers. The passages we've been quoting from 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Timothy 2, deal with the official church worship service. Now, what I'd like to say, too, is the significance of women in church office being not called by Jesus Christ means that their preaching is not a means of grace, nor are their sacraments, and their baptism is not valid. And this will become a big issue in true churches later on when people join them and they realize they have to be baptized properly because their women, baptism by women does not stand.
Okay,
well, that stand with the scriptures, the Westminster Confession, the Reformation, and 1900 years of the church until the rise of modern feminism.
Okay, I'm going to let you finish with Evan Canyola on that. A rather serious comment at the end, you know, that baptism and I suppose all the other sacraments of the church administered by women, in his view, and Angus Stewart's view, and those who think like him, they're not valid.
Oh, well, I think he's taken up a very extreme position. Within the Reformed Church throughout the world, there is a very big openness, increasing openness to women at every level, and the reasons are theological and biblical, and folk need to hear that. That Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king, where there is the ministry of the word, since the day of Pentecost is open to all believers if they have the gift. Christ as the priest, every element in worship is open to women since the day of Pentecost. and Christ is King, all leadership in the church is open to women since the day of Pentecost. And it's a healthier church when you have men and women living together and working together and leading together in equality.
I want to thank all of you very much. An interesting and provocative debate, no question about that. 0845955578 if you wish to continue it. 81771 is our text. Plenty of calls coming through. Mr. Kerr says he makes a very simple point. I don't know why a woman would want to be a priest or a minister. Five-mile town listener to people that know that man had no part in bringing Jesus into the world. It was his mother. When he rose from the dead, he appeared to Mary and he didn't say, away and get me a man. I can't tell you. He said, go tell my disciples. It was women around him when he was on the cross. Mrs. Woods from Glengormley, over 80, sick of listening to people quoting from the Bible. If there were no women in the world, there would be no ministers. And thanks very much for your other comments. Hazel Lynch says, Mr. Newell's been selective in the text, confuses women as Christians with the office of eldership. The scriptures teach women can do and preach. Sometimes they're better preachers than men, but they're not permitted to be ordained. Indeed, they must ask itself whether it will deal, this is the Presbyterian Church, officially, with the scandal of having theological liberals occupying the offices of elder. So there we are. Could she not dedicate her life to Christ by becoming a nun? That's a comment from John in Glengormley. I'm pretty sure there are no nuns within the Presbyterian Church.